Hello? Hello?
Who's there?
Is anybody there?
Yes, Michał Konarski from KBC Securities.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Who else?
Yes, Wood & Company here.
And on our end, it's Eric Drock, our Vice President responsible for retail, Mirek Woda, CFO, and Oskar Swan, Chief Risk Officer, and Monika and Roland from Investor Relations. The presentation will be run by Eric and Mirek, so let's start. After that, we have a Q&A session. Or would you like to start from Q&A session? We are also prepared to do this.
Whatever you like.
Maybe Q&A session?
Q&A? Okay.
Let's start with questions.
Okay, so maybe I will be first then.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I've got a couple of questions. First, maybe on provisioning. I was just wondering, ING is able to continue the declining trend in provisioning in the fourth quarter. And should we expect any one-off items in that quarter? Should I ask one by one question or?
No.
Maybe one by one. If there were anything one-off, it would already be in the third quarter results to say it like that. So unless there's some amazing surprise we don't know about, then no.
Okay, and what about the provisioning level in the fourth quarter? Should it be still declining, or should we expect a similar level this quarter?
Yeah, basically, you know, we do not disclose our, let's say, figures or the profit forecast, so it's hard, you know, to discuss it in this way. I would say that we do not expect in the fourth quarter some significant disturbance on the market that would result in some significant impact on our portfolio, yes? So let's say that's our message.
Okay, I see. Maybe other question on costs. I didn't find, unfortunately, the number of employees at the end of first quarter. If you could give us this figure. Also, is this level of employment right now satisfying for ING, or should we expect further layoffs? And should we expect any seasonality in terms of cost in the fourth quarter?
Just one second. Information about the employment you can find in our report. That's on the page 51.
51. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And what was the second question? Sorry?
Should we expect any seasonality in the fourth quarter in costs?
No.
No, there shouldn't be. Okay. And maybe one more question about corporate loans. About the repricing of the loans, what part of the portfolio was repriced in this quarter, and what are still the possibilities of repricing in the future?
Basically, our assessment is that average time for the repricing of the corporate portfolio is about 3 years. So I would say that in the last three quarters, you can calculate how big part of our, more or less, of our corporate portfolio has been repriced. Yes, obviously, this is, you know, the repricing upwards is a time-consuming and difficult process, as you know. We see right now on the market that the margin, let's say, stops to grow, and we see first sign of the drop of the margin. So we expect that this, let's say, situation will remain, and especially in the next year, margin will try to go down.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Any further questions, please?
Yes, hi, it's Marta Rzeczkowska from KBC Securities. Just follow up on the margin. You said that the margin should go down next year. Is that correct? what I understood?
Basically, our assumption is that, or what we see right now in the market, that the margin stops to grow. On the corporate side, we see that some tenders, the offers in the different kind of tenders are going down, signed by the banks. And on the retail market as well, we see that some of banks starts to be more aggressive, especially on the mortgage market. Yes.
But on the retail side, you see still wonderful margins if you compare with a year ago. So a year ago, we had in the Polish zloty mortgage market around 50, 60 basis points. And nowadays, we have 200, 250 basis points. And that is, I think, reasonably stable in the last 3-4 months. You see a couple of new banks now enter the market. So I expect that the margin will go down, but not to the level what we were before.
And in terms of your deposit side, is this still valid that if the interest rates go up, your margin, your cost of funding basically should go up as well as the bonds that you invest in are going to be repriced?
We actually have a pretty nice balancing effect there, because on savings accounts, right,
mm-hmm.
when market interest rates go up, then we'll tend to pay higher rates. It's not one-to-one, it's not on the same day, but in general, sure, there's that relation. And then you only recoup that on the investment side gradually as the existing investments run off. But at the same time, we have some pretty significant volumes of retail and corporate current accounts on which we don't pay much interest and are relatively insensitive to rate changes, and their rate increases actually help us. And if you put it all together, it's actually pretty well balanced against changes in market interest rates.
Okay, so if your expense side is balanced, then on the asset side, should we still expect the margin to drop, considering that you are set to replace lower yielding assets with higher yielding loans?
There are, let's say, few factors together. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say start from the deposit. Yes, on the deposit side, we have the situation that we have two main parts of our portfolio. Yes, current account that react positively if the margin increase, and we have saving deposit portfolio replicated into some replication portfolio on the market. And obviously, when the interest is going up, that's the short-term negative influence on the savings account portfolio. On the second side, on the lending side, we have the situation that we grant the loans with the current market rate that, as we discussed, has grown significantly both on the retail and on the corporate market. And this situation, you know, is lasting this year, and we hope this will last for the next year. However, we expect some drop of the margin, but not into the level that we had in the beginning of 2008. Yes. And the third point is that we have quite significant imbalance between the deposit and loans, because, as you know, more than 40% of our deposits are invested into the different kinds of the bonds and bills. And obviously, if we manage to replace these bonds and bills by the lending, then we replace, let's say, from our point of view, zero margin asset by the asset with the margin. Yes? So
mm-hmm.
There are three factors: the margin of the deposit, the margin of the loans, and the total volumes of loans and deposits together. Yes? And these three factors, let's say, may influence our total interest income. If the margin on the deposit will increase, our interest income will increase. If the margin on lending will increase, our lending, our interest income will increase, yes? As well, if we manage to increase our lending portfolio, replacing some bonds that we have in the portfolio, our margin, our total interest income will increase as well.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. So even considering these three factors, you still expect margin on average to go down for next year, or how should we look at this statement?
You have to see, the main strategy is that because we have such a loan deposit ratio, you saw that figure.
Yes.
We want to increase our loan deposits ratio, and we do that by changing covenant bonds, as our assets on our balance sheet, in mortgages, for example. That means that we can change 1 billion from government bonds and mortgages, then you change also from zero margin to 200 basis point margin.
Mm-hmm.
Our strategy is grow faster in especially in retail mortgages, but also in wholesale funding.
Maybe just to put it all together, on the deposit side, relatively neutral with savings accounts and current accounts acting as some sort of a reasonable balance. On the asset side, two positive things which will most likely outweigh one negative thing. The positive thing being a replacement of some portion of the bond portfolio with loans. The other positive thing being replenishment of loans which were granted in years past at much lower margins. The one negative thing, let's say new production today being at a lower margin than new production 2 months ago, 3 months ago, that should be more than offset by, let's say, the first two positive factors.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this, let's say, decrease in margins, we see it's true. It's mostly visible for the big ticket corporate loans. On retail, we see a little bit of it, but not so much yet.
Not a lot, no.
Mm-hmm.
Loans and mortgages are nearly the same level.
That's true, but on the other hand, you are not really looking at your market share in corporates. It seems like you're not really fighting for these big tickets and lower margin. Is that correct assumption?
Is market share around many?
No.
Corporate market share is pretty okay.
If we win one of the two tenders we win in this market, that is one of our. You see also our market share is really stable now. Yeah, maybe you agree, we're not a very aggressive bank that we want to have loans for minor margins.
I would say when we start winning every tender, then we should start to worry about the pricing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I expect the main growth from the retail side, from the mortgage side.
Okay.
You see that the mortgage market is picking up now in Poland, so you see more sales coming up. There are not a lot of banks with loan deposit ratios as ING, so there are not a lot of banks who can offer mortgages in this market today.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big advantage for us, I think.
Yes, that's why. Okay, thanks for that. Maybe just on the follow-up on the provisioning. I saw that there are some few one-off items that are offsetting each other, and then we have 54 million for the third quarter in the provisioning. Should we consider this 70 basis points basically over gross loans to be a running rate for what you have on your loan portfolio right now? Or should we be more conservative in assuming your cost of risk?
I understand you calculate the 70 basis points as the provision this year.
As a percentage of loan portfolio.
I'm talking about the quarter. I think 70. It's around 70 basis points over gross loans.
You mean you calculate the risk cost? I mean the risk cost to the volumes, and that's the 70 basis points according to your calculation.
Yes, yes, that's how we do that.
I would say that, you know, assuming that there was no some significant one-offs or the one-offs are netting each other. That's some, let's say, more or less natural level for our portfolio right now. Yes, however, obviously, if the market will deteriorate, we are part of the market. Yes, so this ratio may increase. Yes, further. Obviously, as you can see, I think the good if you could look into the slide 35 in our presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
You can see here as well That's our NPL ratio for our corporate and retail portfolio and for the total bank are significantly better than average of the market. So I would say, because I don't remember the figure for the total market, this risk cost to the total volumes, but if I remember, that was on the level of the 1%, yes? So
yes.
I would say that our risk cost to total volumes would be more or less comparable to the our relation to the market, obviously, to be comparable with our relation NPL to the total market, yes? So, but if the if the market will increase, it will increase as well because it's part of the market, yes.
Just to tie this back to what we were saying before about taking advantage of our stable funding base, that's really it looking forward, taking advantage of our stable funding base in terms of more lending and in terms of of the loans we'd like to make. You could say to a certain extent more of the same. We're not looking to make a lending portfolio that's much more or much less risky than we have today, just more of the same things to take better advantage of our funding base.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and in market, just a follow-up on FX options. One of your peers just reported a huge increase in provisioning for this type of lending. Maybe just looking at your portfolio, did you make a lot of restructuring in this portfolio of clients exposed to FX options? And do you see much of a deterioration in this portfolio? If yes, maybe just if you could comment on the which part of the loan book right now you consider to be deteriorating the quickest.
There's a lot of questions in one question.
Yes.
So I understand we should start from the options. From the options. Yes. Obviously, as we informed during all our meetings, we actively close our positions from the FX options, negotiating with clients and just, you know, as I said, closing the position. Yes, basically we have two effects on the same time. The first one is the closing position with client, and secondly is the drop of the FX rate. Yes, because if you remember, we had on the beginning of the year rate on the for the euro 4.9. Yes, so we have two factors, let's say, supporting each other. But if I would assess the impact, this closing position with clients is far more important and bigger effect. But I would say, following that, right now our exposure, total exposure for the FX option, is something like 60-70% lower than it was on the year, beginning of the year.
In terms of the mark-to-market value of the outstanding contracts.
Yes. Obviously, that includes a lot of the restructured clients. And as if you look into the slide number 31, you may see the impact of FX options allocations in the every particular quarter. Yes, partially that's in the revenue, partially in the risk cost. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Overall allocation in the first quarter was 130 million. In the second quarter, 93, and in the third quarter is on the level 43. So that's, I think, quite a reliable trend, and we believe that if nothing extraordinary will happen, there should not be some in the following quarter, some huge allocation as we had in the last quarter of previous year on the first quarter of this year. Yeah? So obviously, we can still expect some clients, you know, going into trouble having FX exposure. However, you know, I would say that the process is under control, yes?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a difficult question because when we make loan loss provisions or we make provisions for options, the spirit is the same. Whatever we know today, to the best of our ability, we take into account in the financial statements of the bank. So a question about what we will see going forward is really a question about what will happen with the euro zloty rate. We don't know.
And
what will happen with the... we don't know, although it's fair to say that if you ask an economist, most economists would tell you that the money will rather get stronger than weaker.
Mm-hmm.
And it also becomes a question, well, and what about the quality, the credit quality of our counterparties? And they're also, we don't have a crystal ball. But that being said, as you can imagine, as this has already, this situation has been with us now for almost a year, for our largest counterparties, we've really made an effort to be sure we understand their financial situation and where required create appropriate provisions. So, as Mirek said, if there's no absolutely out of the blue euro zloty movements, no out of the blue credit events, then the let's say decreasing trend of FX options credit risk costs, to call it like that, should continue to decrease.
I would say following that, it's rather right now it may be situation more like, because client will face some problems with running the business, mm-hmm. our FX deal can be impaired because of that. Then just, you know, FX deal will impair the client. It's more like, as we are saying, it's more like right now it's part of the exposure against every client, and it's the most important is the performance of the client, yes? And whether we are providing for the lending, yes, or we are providing for the FX deal is less important. The most important is the credit, the performance of the client and the credit worthiness of the client. Yes? So that's not the situation, definitely, as we saw on the beginning of the year, when order from the clients, I don't know, profit or the capital, the should be just almost, you know, defaulted.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. And in terms of the deterioration right now, is it more corporate? Is it more retail? How does it look in ING?
Deterioration of credit portfolio, you mean?
Mm-hmm, yes.
That you can look into the slide number 35. Basically, on both sides, we have improvement, contrary to market. However, obviously, to some extent, that's effect of the growing lending book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but on the other hand, the recurrent impairment was 27 in last quarter, and it's 54 this quarter. So I'm just, asking, what was the driver of this increase? I guess I can check that on this slide.
The split, I mean, of the 54 retail and wholesale. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have it somewhere in the report, yeah?
512.
Okay, perfect, thank you. Okay, that's all from me. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, this is Peter Vedlicka from Wood & Company. Can we please talk into more detail on the NPL disposal which seems to have taken place in the third quarter? I would be interested in what portion of the loan book was sold or of the NPLs, and what structure, what part was corporate, what part was retail? Thank you.
That was only sale of the retail lending. I think, if I remember, that was fully provided. And so the total, this 5.7 million effect, is the price we got. That's the loans, retail loans from the very, very old times. I can't remember the total volume, I can't remember. But that was with the interest. Yeah. I remember that was about a bit less than 100 million zloty of the total exposure, fully provided with the price quite low, 5.7 million. So that has not some significant effect on the quality of our, let's say, lending.
Okay, great. And do you plan to do some more NPLs disposals in the coming quarters?
I would say that we do not have too much to dispose, yeah. So I would rather expect that we'll just, you know, on some regular basis, sell some portfolio that was, let's say,
ancient bad loans.
Exactly, checked by bank and you know, collected by bank, and if we see that there is nothing more can be collected, so then we are selling it. There would be not some special significant program or the sale of this kind of portfolio.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much.
Any further questions?
Yeah, hello. Do you hear me?
Yes, yes. Please.
Yeah, this is Thomas Bank of UBS. I have one question on costs. Should we expect any seasonality in Q4? And on which side should we assume some increase, or rather on the opposite, like I guess it was the case in Q4, there was a decrease in costs? No, not really, I think. All right, but a comment on seasonality. And if we look at your cost of risk or provisions in Q3 compared to Q2, it seems that the underlying provisions are growing a little bit. And then if we still remove the impact of Duda restructuring and this 6 million sale of NPLs, it seems like the cost of risk are growing. So my question would be, how do you see, I'm not asking for exact numbers, but what trends do you expect in NPL ratio in particular, where you think it will peak for you, and when the cost of risk underlying, excluding FX options, could peak? You know, is it which quarter of 2010, or maybe 11, or which half of the year you would expect those two to be peaking?
I think, but we talk about the market, I understand. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Well, more for you, probably you. It's hard to comment further back, so how do you see it with your own portfolio?
I'll give the answer, I'd say, for the market as a whole, and of course we're part of the market.
Okay.
For corporate, I think we are maybe a quarter away from the peak.
Mm-hmm.
I think end of year financials for corporates will be the moment of truth in a lot of cases. My personal expectation for Polish corporates in general is that things will not get much worse after another quarter. For retail, again, talking about the Polish market as a whole, I think we may be a half a year or a year away from the peak, but I would draw your attention to the southeast chart on slide 35, which shows that for retail, actually, we have quite different NPL tendencies for retail than the market. So, for retail, the general market trends may not affect us so much as they might for corporate lending.
I see. And when you say that a quarter away from the peak, do you mean the peak including, I think that you cannot really remove FX options from NPLs if you think for the sector.
I so, agree. And yeah. When I make that statement, I include FX options.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. So what about cost of risk? When do you think would be the moment to expect a decrease?
Oh, pretty much in line with my statements regarding NPLs as a
okay.
Total in terms of timing.
Okay, I see. Mm. And the other question on seasonality?
Seasonality of costs?
Yeah, exactly.
Really.
Yeah.
No, we do not expect any cost peak in the last quarter.
Okay.
No Christmas presents.
Yeah, we have a budget for Christmas presents.
A budget for Christmas presents.
I wanted to ask you one more question because I remember there was high volatility of trading income in especially in Q4 last year, and now we have this uncertain situation with Polish budget deficit and potentially impact bond yields, and I was trying to understand, you know, what we could expect in terms of changing valuations of bond portfolios on your P&L, because in the meantime you had some changes in the accounting rules. I mean, not really rules, but the way you would account for bonds. And is there any volatility that could reappear in the P&L, or it's all going to equity now?
Most, let's say on the trading side, to some extent, interest rate volatility actually can be a good thing, can give more opportunities to trade higher bid offer. It spreads, if you look at our bond investment portfolio, it's mostly available for sale or even some that held to maturity. So the effect would be, as you say, rather, would not at all for HTM or to capital for the AFSB.
Mm-hmm. And the hedging, because I guess it's very hard to hedge perfectly, yeah? So there's always some over-hedging or under-hedging. And do you think that that could have an impact on P&L?
No. We have the IFS portfolio.
Yeah.
It's marked to market in equity, yes? And obviously, if the rate will shock increase, it will affect our equity.
Yeah.
And the second, we have we have our euro bonds in the loans and receivables portfolio, and here any rate change is affecting this because we treat it as just as the lending. So until it's not impaired, we just accrue the interest income.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have our trading positions that obviously are, let's say, rate sensitive, yeah, but that's, I think, the normal situation.
Mm-hmm.
And the trading positions are sometimes, let's say, in this direction and sometimes in that direction. They're not sticky in that regard.
So the trading could actually impact P&L? Is it correct?
Sure. All the trading positions are, let's say, within the VAR limits, yes? So we do not expect that the rate change will impact us higher than the result of the VAR calculations, yes?
Okay. And is the IFS portfolio, is it the part of the application portfolio of your deposit base?
Yes.
Okay. So I understand that this is hedged by derivatives.
To some extent, yes.
And then the volatility of derivatives, is it going now into equity also, or is it going into P&L?
You're right, it's going into the P&L.
All right. So there could be still some impact from imperfect hedging, as I understand.
That's always, and this is the result in this result on the financial instruments.
Yeah.
Where you can see the impact of the imperfect hedging.
Okay.
And if you will look into our presentation,
mm-hmm.
into the slide 44, that's in the appendix,
yeah.
There we try to make some calculation of the economic result of the bank,
mm-hmm.
just allocating all the interest-related part of the revenue, that's mainly the interest income from the derivative instruments, the interest income. Yes, just to have the situation when if we have some accrual position hedged by the hedging instrument, by the derivative, it's net on the interest income level, yes?
Mm-hmm.
And here you can see that in this approach, in this view, our net income on investment assets is really minor, yeah? And that's mainly the revenue result on some sale of some bonds from the IFS portfolio. But in reality, majority of our revenue is generated in the interest income and fees. And you can see that our trading result is stabilized on the level 60, 70 million per quarter. Yeah, you can see that in the fourth quarter, is minus 300 million. That's obviously impact of the Eurobonds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the first quarter, we have still some impact of the Eurobonds and classification plus allocation for the FX options. Then the situation is normalizing the second and third quarter. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this picture is far better showing the real performance of the bank in separate quarters.
Okay. So this 308 million in Q4 last year, if, let's say, this happened again to other part of your bond portfolio, a similar increase in margins or yields, what would happen to the P&L?
Maybe that was unclear, but we said that basically only what can affect us right now is the volatility of the trading positions.
Okay.
And obviously IFS into equity. Yeah, we do not have anything that is in the classification fair value option right now. Yeah, so that may affect us as the revaluation effect.
So that benefit used introduction of fair value accounting.
No, yeah. That's the reclassification of Eurobonds into the loans and receivables on the beginning of this year.
I see. But then there is other bonds, right, that could potentially change in value. And
right now we have the bonds only in the loans and receivables, IFS and trading. So there are no position in the fair value option that is marked to market of profit and loss. Mm-hmm.
Is it only for euro bonds or is it for other bonds?
It was used only for euro bonds.
Okay. Okay, that's it from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We cannot hear any more questions. Does it mean that...
Maybe one more from...
Okay, please.
From Michał Konarski, KBC Securities. If you could give us some small update on a situation with Polish IT company Technex. We could read in newspapers that ING is exposed to this company and the loan matures at the end of November. If you could just give us a few words about that, what's going on right now?
We can't really, comment too much on that. I mean, I can only say what you've already seen in the papers, that we became owners of a certain amount of their shares, which as a result of the fact that we collateral under our loan agreement. I don't know if I can say any more on that as long as that's still open. I think, I mean, I'm not going to tell you anything. You can't read the newspaper. I think we'll see this way or that way in the coming days whether the courts accept a bankruptcy with liquidation or a bankruptcy with reconciliation. Mm-hmm. We wait and see what the court's decision is.
All right. Thank you.
So, do you have any more questions? If not, we would like to thank you very much for participation in our third quarter results conference and invite you to our next year conferences. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.